out like a gentleman. Oh, yes, hello.
We're going to sex.
I'm a bad bitch!
I need to get drunk. This is fucking horseshit.
Goodbye to the people who love me.
Something about you, girl.
If you're not suffering, you're not learning.
That's it, bro.
Suffering means everything.
Do me a favor. Take a knife, stab yourself in it. I'm just kidding.
So, Eric.
Yes, sir.
You had finally watched one of the cinematic masterpieces you have been waiting for in King Kong versus Godzilla. We all know how much of an affinity you have for the Lizard King, Godzilla.
Godzilla.
What was your thoughts on that movie?
I feel like I haven't talked about Godzilla good times enough, like, on record.
Yeah.
But it was a staple in my house. Sci-Fi Channel, late nights with my dad, watching all the old Godzilla movies. I had all the rubber toys.
Mm-hmm.
The green Godzilla toy, the Mothra, the Space Godzilla, who had the big diamond shoulder blades. So I went deep. So when they brought all the Monsterverse, I guess the Monsterverse is what they call it.
Okay.
That's what they're calling
the
like
the original MCU.
Yeah, so the Monsterverse is supposed to be Godzilla, Kong, Skull Island, King of the Monsters, and now this is part 4. This is a part 4 of a series now.
Okay.
It's weird to think about it because the Godzilla remake was like 2014.
That's not the one with fucking Broderick, right? Which one's that one?
That's from 99. That's his God's... And Jean Reno.
That's not even Jean Reno could say that shit.
No. Gene Kenny. No, he could not say that. That movie wasn't even that bad. Yeah, actually, it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
But when I was a kid, it was great.
I was going to say, let's call it what it is. That movie was fucking terrible.
I liked the 2014 movie with Bryan Cranston.
That was it. That was Cranston that was in that one. Yeah.
I liked it. Kong, I think, even now, Godzilla vs. Kong is the best of the four. I would say Kong Skull Island was the worst of the four. It's weird. In this movie, they make Kong the main character. He's the hero of the story. But Godzilla whooped that ass. As he should. I'm just putting that out there. I've always been Godzilla guy. So when they had the fight and I watched the movie, the original, I was disappointed with the original outcome. But this time I think they rectified it. They made it more, you know, they made it more, if you're going to go real, if you're going to go for realism with giant monkey versus giant lizard, they did that in this movie.
Well, and the thing is that Jordan, we love you, homie, and we hope that you do. We're going to look back at this in like 5-6 years. Hopefully by that time, the Metal Gear movie will be realized.
Are you talking about Mr. Voight Roberts?
Yes, sir. Because he's the one that did Skull Island, right?
Yeah, he did research out in like Vietnam and almost got into like, he almost got shanked in a nightclub trying to do research, just hanging out trying to do his Kong movie, so that's what made my respect level for him rise. And I was like, let me follow this guy's career. Kong Skull Island is not a bad movie, but it's one of those movies where it feels like they're catching up. Like Godzilla has this huge head start. So it's like, oh, wow. King Kong has got all this other cool shit going on, too. Let's introduce like 8 characters. Like, this is a lot going on.
Yeah.
At least with, I can't think of the dudes. He's the guy who did Rogue One. Gareth Edwards?
He did
Rogue One, and he did Godzilla, but that was like, he did a good job of just having Godzilla still be a big part of the movie, but the humans kind of carried the story.
Mm.
Everybody since then just has the humans, or they're like walking cameras. and the monsters are the focus, which is what I want. And it pisses me off still to this day that the reviews come out and they're like critics and writers saying that this is boring. The humans are just toys. They don't have any agency. They don't have any motivations. You're just watching big monsters punch each other. And I'm like...
So?
Yeah. That's good.
And your point is...
I'm not looking for Last of Us here, guys.
Right.
I want big monkey punch big lizard. And then fire breath.
That's the name of the episode right there. Big monkey punch big lizard.
It's funny because the way... Can I spoil the movie for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
The way that they humanize Kong right off the bat is they show you through the help of a little girl who grew up on Skull Island. He knows sign language. So he can speak with humans.
Ah, okay.
And immediately my wife was like, teared up, Kong better win. And I'm like, fuck that. I don't give a fuck if he speaks...
Step aside, wife.
I don't give a fuck if he speaks Swahili. Godzilla's coming for your ass.
Swahili on the Swahili.
So they do a good job of having like the three round back and forth throughout the movie. So... All in all, there's like about 5 to 6 to 7 good monster fights, which I think is more than King of the Monsters had. Because King of the Monsters was King Ghidorah fucking everybody up, as he should. When people came out and said King of the Monsters was trash, I was like, I'm going to love this movie. Watch. And I put it on, and I was frothing at the mouth. Three-headed dragon, lightning breath, everybody's dead.
Let's go.
Gimme. I remember it was almost like as that was one of the things, like fond memories of staying up with my dad. Not just watching HBO boxing, which is RIP, that's gone. But sci-fi watching Godzilla, and he fucking takes King Ghidorah's head and he fucking gives him a snapmare takeover. Like multiple flips. I wanna say that was Godzilla vs. Monster Zero, that he does the flip. Somebody in the comments, please correct me. But the fucking, the triple snapmare, come on, dude. They didn't do that in the remake, but they did a great job of just having the Godzilla just be a violent, just animal. Just even in the first movie, when he fucking takes the Muto, and he like fire breaths him down his throat into his stomach, and just blows up the dude from within. I was like in the theater, like making like Ronnie James Dio metal fingers. I'm like, this is the baddest movie I've ever seen. So they've done a great job of building up Godzilla as the king, right? So that's the whole point of this movie, is Kong is a king in his own right, and they're alphas, they're gonna fight. They treat the monsters, you know, the titans, this whole idea of like ancient creatures that like hieroglyphics tell the story throughout the generations and shit. Mm. I like that angle. I thought that was pretty cool. So when they actually get to fight, they're basically underwater. So Godzilla can swim and like he's like amphibious, but Kong is not. So that was like, so Kong can like talk to the little girl like, sad. And then like Godzilla's trying to drown him and shit.
Right.
I was like, my wife's like, fuck that. King Kong, get him. I'm like, no. Get in there.
Right, just fucking throws the TV from the fucking mantle. Like, fuck that stupid-ass movie.
But what I thought was cool, they do a lot of carryover from King of the Monsters. So, like, Millie Bobby Brown is in it as 11. And she is, she's like the daughter of, like, the dude whose wife made the sonar box that can allow you to communicate with Mothra and Godzilla, and like, that's how they get the Titans to like, you know, that's how Tywin Lannister was like, let's wake up the fucking, you know, let's wake up all the monsters, and we're gonna like cleanse the earth. And it's like, oh wait, bad idea.
Shout out to Charles Dance.
Charles Dance, yes. So in this movie, there's no sonar stuff in this movie. It's basically Godzilla like gets pissed off at Hong Kong. There's something in Hong Kong at the Cybernetics Corporation that's like pissing him off, and one of the human characters finds like this big red engine, and he's like, what the fuck is this? He's like a got like a Titan conspiracy podcast, and like he's scrolling through the episodes, and you see Mothra pregnancy conspiracy, and I'm like, Mothra's coming back. Yes, dude. They said this was going to be the last movie, but I hope they make like at least two more movies.
Well, I think what it will end up happening is they'll take stock in it and they'll go, okay, was the movie successful? Did it make enough money for us to justify moving forward with any other movies?
I think this one did. I think from what I saw, this was the most profitable movie release in the pandemic era.
Correct. Yes, it was.
So it was successful enough for them to push back Mortal Kombat on HBO Max an extra week, so, which kind of pisses me off, but that's fine. We were supposed to do that one for a future episode, but fuck it, this is equally important, so.
Well, HBO Max isn't going anywhere. I'm not planning on going anywhere. I know you're not planning on going anywhere. No. But, you know, we talked about this before, like, you grew up in a different sci-fi universe than I did. My dad was very much Star Trek, Star Wars, mainly Star Trek.
Yeah.
And he was Shatner and fuck Jean-Luc Picard. He was very Shatner. And it was just like, I never understood it because Shatner was just Shatner. I mean, need I see more? I mean, the guy just it fit for like the 1970s, like them doing this, I wouldn't even say shoddy, but like this kind of a parody of itself space exploration show, and then all of a sudden they turn it into a movie franchise. And
well, I think that's really what made me like Star Trek, because I'm trying to think of the name of that, like, the phrase that they use for Star Trek. I want to say maybe theater of the mind, where it's almost like a stage play, where Star Wars, and like Godzilla, it's spectacle, it's physical.
I think theater of the mind is, I think, appropriate, but I can't be 100% certain.
But I equally love Star Wars and Star Trek. They're good in their own ways. For me, like, Godzilla stuff, it's the spectacle, and I think that's what always drew me to it, was like, gigantic monster. He's nice, sort of, but right, you can't control this thing.
Right.
And I remember watching the old black and white one after seeing the ones in like the 70s. So like, when I saw the original, and I saw all the people getting fucked up in the radiation and like war, like that was the metaphor of Godzilla. And I was like, even when I was little, I was like, oh, that, I thought it was just big, big monster punch. No, it means a whole lot more. And I guess that's what people are looking for now, but Godzilla doesn't have to be that now.
Yeah.
He can be escapism. He can be the anti-hero.
Yeah, because we never got into all that. Like, I know, like, you and I have talked about, like, you're super excited about the Dune remake.
Yeah.
Like, I knew of Dune's existence, but, like, that was never watched in my house.
That's another, like, to me, it was very operatic kind of movie. And that might be just David Lynch just going goofy. My buddy John, huge fan of, like, Frank Herbert. Like, he read all the Dune books, and he's like, fuck the movies. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But there's this, I love the movie. And I think the remake, you know, they got the perfect guy.
Right.
To try to do a Dune remake in Villeneuve. So, the dude who did Blade Runner and Arrival. So, I think the movie's going to be fine. But I think
That's Denis Villeneuve, right?
Denis, yes.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's totally fine to have Godzilla just be pure spectacle. You don't have to have metaphors like war, sad, like arms falling off. You don't need that now. It's okay to have Godzilla just have a little bit of popcorn fun.
Yeah, no, and nowadays, you know, cinema doesn't have to be, back in the day, it had to be a little bit more deep. It had to be a little bit more thought-provoking. you know, back in those days, you had your movies like Gone with the Wind, you know, where the fucking book was that big.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll get to that in a minute when you were talking about the Dune books, but, you know, you're talking about movies like that, Citizen Kane, you know, what is the interpretation of Rosebud, that kind of stuff. And sometimes people will say, like, you know, that's faux intellectual shit, but back in those days, it had to be more thought-provoking. Nowadays, the main thing that people want is a character that they can, like, watch and, like, be entertained by. It doesn't even have to be, like, the entire movie. It just has to be something that, like, a character that they can kind of just latch on to and follow.
And they do that with Kong, which I did not expect them to do.
Yeah.
They humanize Kong in a way to where you're pulling for him, even if he's getting his ass whooped. Like, he kind of goes through this, like, babyface character arc. Mm. So, after Godzilla shows up, whoops his ass, the whole point of the transport of Kong from Skull Island to America is they have rich guy employs Alexander Skarsgård, not Bill, the prettier brother, not the non-crazy looking.
Yeah, not, hey, Georgie.
The non-crazy looking Skarsgård. He basically has the Hollow Earth theory. So, like, journey to the center of the earth type of thing.
Yeah.
And when they interview him, he's saying that him and his brother went down. They found, like, a gateway into the Hollow Earth, but intense gravity shift smushed everybody. So, you know, my brother's dead. I don't have any money to get back. And the guy's like, I'm rich. Don't worry. I got you. So, the idea is they're going to bring Kong to this big hole in Antarctica, and it's like, run down there, and we're gonna follow you into the Hollow Earth. And it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, are they gonna do like an inverse Monster Island? Like, they're gonna go down there, it's gonna be like more dinosaurs and shit. Like, yeah. So this is when the movie, like, it totally changes. It stops being like a boxing match, and then it turns into like this weird journey to the center of the Earth, like Lost World thing. So Kong goes down there, and the ship is following them into like this deep Antarctic tunnel, and there's like a fucking portal just in the earth. So they jump in, and they're fucking, it's like they're transported to like Land of the Lost in the middle of this movie. So this
Marshall
is
Marshall Will and Howard.
Sorry. Yeah, this is, yeah, so like they're falling down, and like the gravity shifts, and all of a sudden they're going up again, but like they turn. So when Kong starts going through and eating, you know, he's like fighting dinosaurs and like eating their heads and like fucking, you know, getting the lay of the land. He goes up on the mountain and he looks and you can see like the two worlds, like two mountain ranges like stacked on top, like almost like Doctor Strange, like meeting each other.
Oh, shit.
And there's like this layer like where the gravity changes. And he's like, he touches the rock and it like takes that gravity. So he jumps through it and he's like floating. So Kong is in like this like blissful, serene, like, this is my home now.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, this is like 30-minute detour into some other thing. I'm like, wow, like, that's character development, that's motivation, that's, you're like, you want Kong to like live here now. You don't have to fight Godzilla. You can just chill here. Then it gets even weirder because they go and they basically follow the energy source is what they're looking for. You find out later, rich guy is trying to find an energy source for Mechagodzilla. So, fucking, they go full Pacific Rim, dude.
I was going to say, is this like heel turn? Like,
this is like full, like, Jaeger Pacific Rim shit. Did you watch Pacific Rim?
I keep meaning to watch it, but
must watch. So, check this out.
Is that a Guillermo movie? Yeah, it is. Okay.
So, that's the performance of Charlie Day's career. It's a great movie. They have King Ghidorah's skull, and they use DNA traces of the skull to power this like VR psychic headset for this dude to put on and power Mechagodzilla.
Okay.
So it's like they kind of like did like a brain transplant of Ghidorah into Mechagodzilla. It's fucking, like, like goofy. Like
super this, sci-fi fantasy
this,
fucking.
This movie goofy. Is like this movie is like 80s, straight 80s, dude. So the dude's got the fucking VR on and they're practicing with Mechagodzilla, but doesn't have enough battery life, so like we're waiting for King Kong to get the energy source, and then we're gonna like just supercharge our robot up, he's gonna fuck up Godzilla. So cut back to Land of the Lost, and fucking King Kong is going up to the energy source, and it's like handprint is on the door. Open the door. It's a throne room. There's an axe. He picks up the axe, and it starts to glow.
What's this, like, Stormbringer shit?
Yeah. So he sits down on the throne, then he puts the axe in this fucking axe-shaped hole, and it starts to, like, connect, and, like, blue lightning's fucking going this way, and the camera pans up, and the blue lightning is, like, in the shape of Godzilla carving into the ground. So it's like Alien versus Predator pyramid documenting their ancient rivalry over, like, eons. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? This movie just went super left. And I love it. But I'm like, what?
Who are you people?
Who wrote this shit? So this is the fucking, it's like a signal that goes off. And Godzilla's like, in Hong Kong, like looking for the energy source for Mechagodzilla. And he's like, he feels the fucking energy stuff go off. And he's like, hey, what the fuck? So he like blows atomic breath down from Hong Kong all the way to the center of the earth. And King Kong's like, hey, fuck you. And Godzilla's like, hey, fuck you. That's basically what happens. So the bad guys basically steal the energy source. And they, you know, fucking shoot it back up to power up Mechagodzilla. But in the meantime, that's when the big fight from the trailer happens. And they had that goofy fucking rap song playing, which was like weird. Like, you just need like just horns and strings, okay? Right. All you need is like the timpani drums, like that's all you need. But King Kong's got his like atomic axe, and he's like fucking up Godzilla with the axe. And then everybody on the couch, I'm like looking at Cassie, like, who's gonna win? And she's like, Godzilla. I'm like, yeah, that's my girl. Godzilla fucks up King Kong. And he like fucking like crushes his chest and shit. And he like screams in his face like, hey, I won.
Right.
And then King Kong's like screaming back at him like, no, fuck you. And then like Godzilla like twists on his fucking like heart and shit. And I'm like, yeah. I still get like hype for that. I know it's silly, but like I still get like.
No, dude, you're good.
I get hype for that. So this is the cool part. So you think about King Kong. He can speak. He's got friends. He's got a home. Now he's dying. So Skarsgård basically charges up the ship as like a defibrillator to King Kong to wake him up while Mechagodzilla's fucking up regular Godzilla. And this is where the movie, it does another flip. So King Kong ends up beating Mechagodzilla. Godzilla gets fucked up. They're doing the atomic breath versus breath, which was badass. But Mechagodzilla shoots the fire back into Godzilla's throat, and then, like, you see his chest, like, flame out, like, lava out, and I was like, Oh, fuck, dude. So Godzilla basically blows the fire on the King Kong's axe, and King Kong just chops this motherfucker, like, in pieces, and, like, rips his head off, like, Sub-Zero, and I'm like, this movie is, like, this movie, I'm getting, like, hype. My wife's like, get him, King Kong! Like, she never says that. Nobody, I'm like the only person who watches Godzilla in my house and is excited until this movie. So, if you got everybody in the house hooting and hollering, that means you've made a good choice. You made a good action movie. And King Kong was the hero. He got his ass whooped, and then he fucking had a musical montage where he's hanging out eating pterodactyls. And he beat the bad guy. So this is it. They marketed it like Godzilla Part 3. No, this is King Kong. He's the hero. But he didn't win the fight. So I got everything I wanted. So 5 out of 5 stars.
I was going to say, but going back, I mean, I'm glad you liked it. I know you've been looking forward to this movie for a long time, and I'm glad that it didn't fucking suck. But, like, going back to screenplays and, like, the Dune shit, because you know, like, how I like to bring this kind of stuff back to...
Circular.
Yeah. The difficult part between adapting something and writing your own screenplay is that, you know, we always talk about this, Kate and I always talk about this with the Harry Potter movies. Because, yes, I mean, I will be the first one to say, the books are way the fuck better than the movies.
You've sold me very high on the books, yeah. But I have not read them still.
Yeah, the books are way better character development, but... By the same token, when you're trying to adapt that to screen, and I mean, you can attest to this. You write all the time. I don't write. Because I'm not smart enough to do it. But.
Don't sell yourself short like that.
I mean, I don't have that. I have skills, but that is not one of them. But to adapt a 2-hour movie out of a 400 to 500 page book and like try and keep the key elements to keep it to where the story stays interesting and the narrative still doesn't get lost is a difficult job.
Yeah.
Because you have to try and figure out what's worth keeping, what's going to translate well to the screen.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. And still make sure that the movie is fucking coherent. Unlike fucking... What was that fucking idiot rapper's name that we just fucking watched? Raid?
Rayed. Yeah. That's a... Like, you gotta watch the Gedung Files for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to say this. Somebody said this online. I wanted to use that. Like, instead of ladies and gentlemen, now people want us to say... guys and gals and non-binary pals. And I was like, I like that. That has a good ring to it. Because we do have non-binary listeners, so we don't want to...
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals. That's usually why I just say outliers.
Yeah.
Because outliers is, you know, it's an ambiguous term. It doesn't, you know, it's not outlier gentlemen. I mean, we call ourselves outlier gentlemen because we both identify as...
Gentlemen.
He, his, him...
He, his, him, thems.
But
yeah, that all outliers is still all-encompassing. But I just want to throw the non-binary pals thing in there because I'm like, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. But I can see John's point to Dune. You know, if they're taking... I don't know how many Dune books there are.
Shit, 8?
And they made that into one movie?
No, Frank wrote... 2 or 3, and I think after he passed away, the son did the rest.
Okay. But, like, trying to adapt that into something that's cohesive, that's something that you can, as I said before, make sure it translates to screen.
Adaptation is a skill of its own.
Yeah, adaptation is ridiculous, because I'm not saying, like, writing an original screenplay is any easier, but you also have a lot more wiggle room if you're writing your own original.
Yeah.
Because you're the one telling it. You're not adapting it from any source material.
You navigate the list.
Yeah, you navigate. You are the one that's controlling the narrative. If it's an adaptation, then you have to worry about staying true to the source material, plus being able to put your own stuff in there. To make sure it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the whole thing with Jordan with the Metal Gear movie. Because did he say where he's going to start? Is he going to start in...
He made it very vague. But he promised, from what I remember, he promised a lot of time jumps. And this very sort of punk rock, time jumping... sort of all era encompassing story, which I think
that's gonna be rough.
You know, if you're gonna do fan service, the movie is cool, and we talked about this on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen episode too. Like, the time jump thing is hard to do because Metal Gear is one of the most complex series.
Oh, God, yes.
Imaginable.
Oh, God, yes.
I would still say, if you're going to do a Metal Gear movie, if you're going to go with, like, the most bang for your buck, you have to do Snake Eater.
Correct.
Phantom Pain.
Yep.
Shadow Moses.
Yep.
That makes the most sense to me because you've got as many supernatural, high action, and highly intellectual fucking themes and just discussion going on in those three games out of six or seven.
Well, and somebody, I had said something similar to that on one of Jordan's posts on Twitter. And somebody responded back to me saying that what I was saying didn't make sense.
Really?
And that they needed to start from Shadow Moses. And I'm like, why wouldn't you start at the beginning with Big Boss?
Snake Eater is the perfect spot to begin.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, that's where Kojima wanted it to end.
Yeah.
So why not start there?
Yeah, he had no plans to make a four. Three was supposed to be the end. It was supposed to be...
Two was supposed to be the end.
Oh, yeah. Two was supposed to be the end, and then he got pressured into doing three. And then three was supposed to be the end. And then you make Guns of the Patriots, which still is fucking... Guns of the Patriots is still fun to play. I enjoy playing Guns of the Patriots. There's not a whole lot of scenes that are as badass or make their hero look as fucking tough as when... Snake is going through the microwave field. And by the end of it, he's fucking crawling on his hands and knees.
Yeah, very, very cinematic.
Yeah. Well, all the while, at the fucking top of the screen, it shows fucking Raiden losing limbs, fucking holding a fucking samurai sword in his mouth.
Yeah. That was, like, so tongue-in-cheek. I think the tongue actually goes through the cheek in some parts of it. But every one of those games, I love them for different reasons. So, this person that said it didn't make sense, I'm curious what their fucking grand scheme.
Yeah.
Like, so, no, just do Shadow Moses. And then, after everybody thinks, you know, it's the end, then you start doing, you know, you go back in time. And no, don't fucking do that.
No, you want to start from the beginning of the beginning.
Think about this. People, if you watch Marvel movies, they're linear. Everything is moving forward. Even when they go back in time, it's meant only to fill in gaps.
Right.
So for Metal Gear, just you can go in a linear fashion because the whole idea is sins of the father anyway.
Right.
That's an easy thing for people who don't know shit about Metal Gear to just get into. Be like, oh, wow, okay. Because you have the thing between Big Boss or, you know, Naked Snake and the boss. That's a hell of a story to tell.
Right.
On a film. Especially with the showdown at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fight in the flower field. All that shit. That's a great starting point. You want to fucking... You're going to say, that doesn't make sense? What are you talking about?
I'm very intrigued to see how Oscar plays that out, too. Because they finally recruited... They finally cast Snake as Oscar Isaac.
And nobody else, though.
Nobody else. Just Oscar Isaac so far.
Well, Jordan, you better get on it, brother. Listen... Tweet Jordan the fucking episode of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Say, fast forward to this point when we start talking about cast. Because, what did we say? We said Michael Shannon as Ocelot.
Yes. Yo. Let's go.
Yo. Let me ask you this, since we're on that topic now. Who would you cast as the boss?
That's rough.
That is rough.
You know who I honestly could see playing the boss? Michelle Pfeiffer. I would see Michelle Pfeiffer playing the boss.
Hmm. Okay.
She's got a similar facial structure and body type to the boss.
She's a little older now, so she can still be muscular.
Right.
Under the suit, but to have like that old refined look to her.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
Who would you cast as the boss?
Oof.
If you say Tilda Swinton, I mean, Tilda Swinton might work too.
No. No.
Tilda Swinton can literally play any fucking body.
Did we ever talk about, or did you ever see what who Kojima based the boss character after? Charlotte Rampling.
Who's that?
If you see her face, you'll recognize her, but she's just like an old English actress. You know what? After seeing Cate Blanchett in Ragnarok, she'd be a good,
okay.
She'd be a good boss.
I'd be okay with Cate Blanchett playing the boss. Who would you have play? Shit. Why can't I think of his name now? Kuwabara. Vulgan.
Colonel Vulgan?
You'd need somebody big. You'd have to be a big guy.
Colonel Vulcan's kind of old, though, isn't he? Or is
he's older, yeah.
He's older.
Dolph Lundgren, let's go.
I was going to say Ron Perlman, but he might be too old.
Perlman wouldn't be bad.
No. Nah. He don't got to move around too much. He's just going to box dudes up.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go with Ron Perlman.
That's actually not a bad choice.
This is like a separate episode all of a sudden. Right?
Massaro?
Ooh, fuck. Okay, alright, now you got my brain. Now we're going to cast the whole Cobra unit now. Fuck, okay.
Yep, let's go.
Alright. You got one in mind or no? I have to think about the voice. The voice is really what...
That's so much suffering.
So he has to be soft-spoken. He's got to have long hair, like long white hair. So he's got to be an older dude. Older than fucking Vulcan.
See, if he was still alive, I would cast somebody like fucking Carradine. As the Sorrow.
I always thought that's who he based it after.
Yeah.
With that ponytail and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Who could... Fuck. You need to have somebody who's like... a character actor who's in a lot of weird shit.
We might have to come back to the Sorrow.
Sorrow's gonna have to go on a shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the Fury?
Well, we don't see the Fury's face, so you can play anybody.
You can pretty much pick anybody for the Fury.
Anybody can play the Fury, but you need somebody with like a crazy ass voice.
Peter Stormare, let's go.
Hey. Is he? He's Russian, right?
Stormare?
No, I mean in the Fury, he's Russian, right? He's a Russian astronaut. Okay. What about I'll go with Stormare.
I'm not gonna say, because Stormare, I think, is he's like Finnish or Swedish or something.
I'm not gonna fuck with that. How about the End?
The End would be hard. You need a big guy to play the End.
He's gotta be old.
He's gotta be old as shit. And Aster.
is the old guy from Jurassic Park still alive?
I don't think so.
Oh, fuck.
No, he passed away, I think, a year or two ago.
Oh, shit. Jordan, you gotta cast these motherfuckers before they pass away, man. That would be who I pick to play the End. What about the Fear?
Fear.
Skinny, spidery.
Yeah, I'm thinking. If he wasn't such a fucking lunatic... I would say Crispin Glover would be perfect for the Fear.
Is he really a lunatic, though?
Oh, yeah. That dude's a fucking... He's nuttier than a squirrel turd. That's why nobody fucking hires him anymore.
I thought that was just... He was just really... No. He's just really good at his job.
No. No, but, like, he would be perfect. He has the perfect bone structure for it. That would be my vote, would be Crispin Glover to play the Fear.
I also agree with that. That's a good one. The Pain, another one. You don't see dude's face... He's just covered.
You just cover him in hornets.
I'm the bee guy. I'm just bees. Like, you just look at the IMDb, it's like bees.
Bees.
I'm still thinking about the Sorrow. Fuck.
The Sorrow's hard. The Sorrow's hard because, again, you have to have him be really soft spoken, really sallow. I got it.
Gimme.
Mads. Get Mads to play the sorrow. Let's go.
He's got the perfect voice.
He does.
That's actually a brilliant choice.
Let's go with Mads Mikkelsen to play the sorrow. Dude, if we can get this cast, let's go. I would be in the theater right now.
Now I'm imagining Oscar walking in the River of the Dead, and Mads is talking over his shoulder. Jordan, you better fucking do this, man.
Jordan, I need you to listen to us.
Listen, PayPal me. PayPal me, like, just give me, like, enough to pay off two houses, and I'll write this shit. Give me, like, 3 weeks to bang this out. I'm not even fucking lying.
We gotta go back to the end, though, because the person you cast for the end, he mega did.
He mega did. Dead. He mega did. We need like a, who's the oldest, most fucking decrepit actor that we have in Hollywood right now?
Jesus.
Like old as fuck, but still active. Edward James Olmos.
Shut up.
Tommy Lee Jones.
You know, you could almost put a beard on somebody like Robert Duvall and he could play the end.
That'd be sick. I like that. I thought he died. We're watching Jack Reacher upstairs. I thought, is Robert Duvall dead?
I don't think so. I think he's still alive.
Okay. He better be.
Yeah, he's still alive, but he's 90. So we need to... Come on, Jordan.
Robert,
let's go.
Robert Duvall, then. He's the end. Okay, what about Young Ocelot?
Ooh, you're pretty good.
But this is Young Ocelot.
Yeah, thinking.
Now, see, for me, I think somebody like... Maybe the guy who plays John Walker in Falcon and Winter Soldier. The guy who plays...
Oh, America's new favorite hated person?
Yeah, which is fucked up. Don't send death threats to actors, people. They're just regular people.
You know what the crazy part is? Do you know who he is, actually? Like, actor that plays John Walker?
No. Yeah, who's that?
That's Kurt Russell's son.
I was thinking about that, because I was like... Wyatt Russell. I'm like, is that Kurt Russell?
Yeah, that's Kurt Russell's son.
See?
So, you know what? You banged it out. There you go. Let's go.
Make him Young Ocelot, dude.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell.
Done deal.
Eva. Scarlett Johansson.
But she already does Black Widow stuff, so I don't know.
I mean, that's a seamless transition. Let's go.
I guess.
Unless you can think of a better one.
I'll have to come back to that one. I'm good with Scarlett for now. Who else is in this game? Who the fuck else?
We cast Logan, we cast the boss, we cast the entire Cobra unit. Eva, Ocelot.
I think that's...
Sokolov.
Who do we get to play him? We need someone bald mustache.
Cowardly.
Oof. It's been a long day. I can't think of actors like I usually can.
I'm trying to like piecemeal it through my head. You could have played Sokolov.
Danny DeVito. I'm pissing my pants over his snake.
Tall, skinny, and bald. Danny DeVito. That's immediately what I think of. Oh, you know who else would be bad as fuck playing Vulcan if you, like, aged him up a little bit?
Who's that?
Hardy.
That might be a real good choice because he can box, too. Okay. Let's switch it to Tom. I like that. But we gotta make him tall. We gotta make him super tall.
That's fine.
Because Tom's like our height. He's a regular size fella.
He's a regular size fella. But tell me that Tom as fucking Colonel Logan wouldn't be just fucking bad as shit.
Then when you do Phantom Pain, you could have fiery ghost Tom chasing Oscar, skinny, emaciated Oscar through the hospital. Come on, man. This shit writes itself. You don't gotta do anything else. Plus, if you do Phantom Pain, you introduce Psycho Mantis, and then when you finally do Shadow Moses, he's grown up. And you see the full extent of his powers. Come on, man. You gotta do a trilogy. Especially nowadays, people want universes and trilogies.
Jordan, we have already done most of your casting. Make it happen.
We've done most of the principal casting. I think with Phantom Pain, you know, you got Huey. And you got fucking Ocelot. He could still be, you know, we can find a happy medium between Michael Shannon and Wyatt Russell. Who would you cast as fucking Miller?
Oof. Play this like a damn fiddle. Ooh, that's rough.
Tim's deep in thought right now. Deep.
Have to be an older actor.
You know who might be better as the end?
Who?
Instead of Robert Duvall.
Who's that?
Ian McShane.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. I like that. Let's go with that.
He's got the wrinkly face.
Yeah.
I like that.
Shave his head bald. We're good to go.
Yeah. Put like a leaf on his head.
Yeah. Make sure you got the parrot, baby. The parrot's got to be there.
Shoot that parrot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
Yeah, Miller's going to be tough to cast.
Kurt Russell.
But Miller's like in his like mid-30s.
I don't give a shit.
Okay. He's like, put the gun away. Fuck. He's like, your fist is like shaking. Like, listen, motherfucker. Told you.
Damn, yeah. Dude. I think, like, us casting a whole Metal Gear movie, like, that's, like, we can sit there and do this shit all day. I love it.
All day, every day.
Days.
Damn, who else? Fuck. Did we cast everybody in Shadow Moses?
No.
No? That's probably too... That's, like, a lot of minute shit.
Well, I mean, you could carry over Oscar for every movie, so that's easy.
That's easy. I'm gonna die on that hill. I would say trilogy. Do Snake Eater first.
Do Snake Eater first.
If it makes enough money, get fucking Empire Strikes Back style with Phantom Pain and then bring it back around. Because at the end of Phantom Pain, you can basically have that discussion where, you know, you show big bosses like betrayal, and then you set it up for the third movie, like, you know, Ocelot's gonna train the sons, or Ocelot's gonna stand by the sons, right? And then Miller's gonna basically, you know, train his son the other way to kill him. So you have like that sort of the branching off of like
the
rival teachers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could... That's an easy layup, dude. But...
Oh, dude. Three, we forgot another fucking pretty major character.
Who's that?
Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Because Zero becomes pretty goddamn important in the story. You'd need somebody probably British, probably a bit older.
John Hurt already passed away.
Fuck. Yep.
Fuck. He's always my go-to guy. Like, get him in there.
Gary Oldman.
I actually like that a lot. I do like that a lot. That's a really good one. Because he's so nice in the first movie. And then if you make a Phantom Pain movie, you can do a lot more visually with Zero than how it was in the game, because you don't even see Zero in Phantom Pain. Like, you hear, like, tapes of him. And then, like, you go through the story, and it's like, he's just become this fucking, like, desperate fucking just tyrant. And then when you hear the tapes, he's like, hello, my old friend. You know what I mean? Like, you could totally do that with somebody like Gary Oldman.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's a fucking complete madman, and he's like, burn these motherfuckers down! And then when you finally, like, you hear all these horror stories, and then you sit down with them, who would you cast as Paz?
Ooh, Paz would be difficult.
Because you know, if we're going to do our trilogy, the scene where Big Bob, where Oscar goes into the fucking medical and the ghost of Paz is there, that's the part that sucks, though, because you're not doing Peace Walker. You're skipping Peace Walker. So how do you really make that shit hit? Because that whole scene is so pivotal, because if you play Peace Walker in Ground Zeroes, you gotta have all that shit.
How old is Paz? She's like 16 or 17?
Yeah. You could probably do Millie Bobby Brown. Maybe. But I don't know how she feels about being in a movie where she's got like a bomb in her vagina. She's like, I was just doing Godzilla vs. Kong 2 weeks ago, you fucking bastards.
You know what? I actually like Millie Bobby Brown cast.
She can pull it off.
Yeah, I think that's what we would go with.
Maybe you don't have to do Peace Walker entirely. You could skip that, but if you do Ground Zeroes, the Phantom Pain movie has to have Ground Zeroes, like, with Skullface. You gotta have, like, the torture shit at least implied a little bit.
Would you cast anybody? What's the little boy's name? Chico?
Chico, you gotta have Chico. I don't know. You get somebody, you know, get somebody. I can't think of anybody, you know. 12-year-old Cuban boys. Like, I'm not going to Google that right now.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Where to find 12-year-old Cuban boys all of a sudden?
Are you using ExpressVPN? One of our sponsors. But you have to have you got to have the Camp Omega shit. You have to have the bomb. And then when you have that sort of speaking to a ghost moment, you gotta have that shit. Because that's the supernatural thing that carries over. That's the through line for all three movies, dude.
Yeah.
Damn. Can you imagine that? Like, fucking, I'm trying to, like, now I can see the actors acting it out.
Mm-hmm. Hot, isn't it?
Yeah, this could be some shit. Jordan, call me.
Jordan.
My email's in the podcast description link, okay?
We'll have to mull the rest of this over. I think it's getting too late in the evening.
This is true. I'm going to be
my
like...
brain to...
I'm going to wake up at 6:30 tomorrow, like... All of a sudden, I'm just going to wake up and, like...
Text me.
Scream...
Tim in all caps.
Scream all actors' names.
It's just going to come out like a fucking volcano, like... Be like Raheem.
Yeah. See, now I'm going to have to craft a YouTube video where we cast the Metal Gears. I'm going to have to, like, make... I'm really enjoying, like, doing these discussion, like, chopping up our discussions and, like, YouTube, like, this, like, YouTube, like, shoot the shit moments. Because the Cyberpunk one, I really like this, cutting that up and putting that out. I'm doing another one for Danganronpa 1, 2, and 3. So maybe I'll do some more chopping and screwing. We'll do, like, these fucking weirdos cast non-existent Metal Gear movies. Yay.
Might have to just start doing theoretical
casting?
Yeah. Like, if they were to cast a fucking Danganronpa movie, how would you cast it?
I wouldn't make it a movie. I wouldn't do a movie for Danganronpa. You can't. There's no way.
I don't like that negative attitude error.
There's no way you can do that. You'd have to, like... You need somebody in, like, a ton of peyote.
I mean...
Do you have peyote?
I mean,
you're making a face like I could get it.
That's why we have Sony side, poor bro. You just get the good shit.
So we started with Godzilla vs. Kong. Now we went to Metal Gear Casting again. That was good. Is there anything you want to talk about? Burps.
Oh. Not really. I've enjoyed our conversation about Godzilla and our hypothetical Metal Gear casting.
Yes.
We will have to... I'm sure you and I will discuss this at length during the week.
Mortal Kombat?
Interested. Very interested to see it.
Yeah. But I think after Mortal Kombat, we should probably do one of the promised films. Perhaps Phantom, perhaps The Shadow.
It would probably be The Phantom before The Shadow.
Come on.
At least I know The Phantom's bad. The Shadow, I have like bits and pieces of it.
Don't fucking get me started. The Phantom is a great movie, and you're going to remember how great it is.
Yeah. Billy Zane was the only one they could convince to fucking play The Phantom.
And The Shadow, you know Shadow's going to be good.
He didn't really have any powers. He had a fucking ring out of a Cracker Jack box. It was like fucking Spaceballs.
He had the double guns. And he also...
That's not a power.
And he also, he's rich. And also, he had a scarf.
And also, fuck you.
Have you perhaps thought, maybe, fuck you? That's like the tagline. What evil lurks in the hearts of fuck you?
But we will be doing Mortal Kombat. We will do The Shadow. We will do The Phantom. Stay tuned with us, guys. We appreciate your support. We're going to be doing a lot more dumb films. We'll be doing...
More games.
More gadung.
More music. Just more
everything.
Just more.
More nudity.
Yeah.
More balls on your face.
Stay tuned for balls. What evil lurks in the hearts of balls? I mean, balls of men. Whatever. Good night.
Good night.